Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/twit and use the offer code HN20. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, visit audiblepodcasts.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 109, August 7th, 2013. Bob finishes the mic patch panel. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bob Heil, K9EID, coming to you from the Ozarks tonight. And we're minus a partner. Gordo is on the road, and we're going to work him on 40 meters after the net. He's going to be around 72, 78. We'll have to look for him a little bit, but let's all go work him and make him feel really good to make the trip a little shorter, as you would say. But we'll go go looking for, of course, the after nets too. But joining me tonight is a very special guest host, and that's Megan, K5MEM. We've seen Megan before, but Megan, nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're great. We're doing good, and you're all right. You're in your wonderful internship. I guess it's coming to a close. How's that been? Been good?
Oh, it's been wonderful. This week is actually my last week of the internship. Friday is my last day to go in. I will go in and continue working with the meteorologist. I will also be working on taping some more to make my resume tape. But it's been incredible how much I've learned this summer.
Well, you can do that when you pay attention and you have a good crew to work with. And I'm sure both are happening there in Dallas. You're at CBS 11, is that right?
Yes, sir. I'm at CBS 11 here in Dallas, and it's been so much fun. I can't even begin to explain it. I've learned a lot about software and how to make the graphics that they use. I've learned about social media and writing blogs so that people can understand what's going on. I've also learned about doing data research that the meteorologist can use it on TV and what kind of information people like to see.
That's wonderful. I want to bring George in. The old smoke insider, George, how are you doing tonight from Mississippi? You all right?
Oh, doing good, Bob. And we're going to start on a great project tonight. We're going to build an HF tuner using MFJ's new tuner kit, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. That's cool. Well, it's nice to have Megan with us tonight. I wondered, you as a good old broadcast engineer, you've had a lot of interns go through your turnstiles, I'm sure. And isn't it great that Megan can make this happen at a major station? That's really cool, isn't it?
It really is. And I know the technology has changed a lot since when I first got into television. You know, home satellite dishes really hadn't come out yet, so we had a microwave path that we had to maintain between Greenwood, Mississippi, and Jackson. And boy, that took a lot of work. And when the satellites came out, it really changed things. And now I guess all the tape machines are gone that I spent a lifetime working on.
Yeah. Hey, Megan, you know, when George was doing that kind of stuff, they were using a chalk and a blackboard to do their weather. Did you know that?
You know, I've heard about that before.
Yeah. It's changed a little. George, you even have a green screen in your new studio, don't you?
Well, I do, you know, and everybody who does video from home really needs a green screen. That way you can be wherever you want to be. I haven't done the weather yet, though.
Oh.
You haven't done the weather. Yeah, well, yeah. I have the perfect weather lady for you. She'll come and stand in front of your green screen, and we can be anywhere. Oh, golly. What's going on in school? Tell us a little bit about where you're going and what's going to happen this year at school for you, Megan.
I'm going to the University of Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner, but I'm actually going into my senior year. So I only have two more semesters left and then I will graduate. But it's been so much fun. I'm involved with the organizations up there within meteorology. I'm involved with the amateur radio club up there. I'm actually the president for both last year and this year. And I'm so excited to graduate and get out into the real world.
Oh, that'll be great. Tell everybody what ham radio has done for all of your activities since you became a ham. Let us know a little bit about how important ham radio is to all of this.
For ham radio, I started originally with field day. I enjoyed contesting, enjoyed talking to people. It's an excuse to stay up all night. The parents didn't tell me I had to go to bed. But amateur radio also allowed me to decide I wanted to become a meteorologist. I wanted to help people understand what was coming their way. I'd been to storm spotting school multiple times. Every time I went to HamCom in the summer, I would go sit in on the storm spotting schools. And understanding what was coming my way helped me decide that's what I want to do. I want to explain what is coming to everyone and help them remain safe. Recently, I resigned from the assistant section manager of North Texas youth position, and I am currently assistant section manager of youth for Oklahoma, and I am training someone up there, and we're trying to get youth running throughout the entire West Gulf Division and allowing our hobby to continue to grow.
Well, that's really wonderful, and I know that you have so many of your friends at young friends that have joined ham radio, and you had a lot of reason for that to happen. I know that you've encouraged a lot of your friends, so that's really great. And the hobby has to be good when you're doing all of your things at a TV station.
Yes, it's so much fun. I enjoy this hobby. I actually enjoyed explaining what Ham Nation was to our meteorologists at the station this summer. When I was on earlier this summer, I walked in there and said, can I take pictures of the station? You know, I want to put them on the Ham Nation. And they kind of looked at me funny and said, sure, but what's Ham Nation? So I explained it to them. I showed them a couple episodes. We didn't watch entire episodes because we didn't have time, but pulled up a few episodes and just kind of showed them what Ham Nation was. They knew what amateur radio was because they have hams that come in and volunteer, and they have a station back kind of behind the weather center, but they didn't understand what it meant to me until I showed them all the stuff that I do and why I want to be a meteorologist.
Now, one question. When you showed them the episode, I hope it wasn't the one where George had the blowtorch and they were like trying to desolder some components, and you didn't show him that, did you?
No, I didn't show him that one at all. I only showed like the first 5 or 10 minutes of just a couple of them, just to kind of show him what it is that Ham Nation was.
Well, that's just great. We're so thrilled that you can be with us, and we'll look forward to having you on again when you get back into school, and we'll hear you on the air once in a while. And you're usually in there with all the pileups, so everybody wants to talk to you, so we'll be in there. So be listening. We're down there a little low, but we'll be there for you. But I really appreciate you coming on tonight and giving us a little insight of your internship in Dallas. Keep us posted what's going to happen with the new school year, okay?
I will. Thank you for having me.
Okay. George, you got any questions, anything you need to know about weather? Here's your chance.
Well, I know it's hot, and it's probably the same over around Dallas. But, Megan, congratulations and good luck on your career. I know you're going to do well as you start, like everyone else in broadcasting, at the first job you can get and then continually move up and up till you hit the big time.
Well, thank you, George.
Yeah, And Stephen in the chat room, he gives me my closing line. Megan, you're an awesome young lady and a true ambassador for our hobby. So keep up the good work. And you always have a spot here to come and talk to us and tell us what's going on. So I appreciate your time. And you take care and travel safe back to OKC.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Good deal. Well, we're so happy about having her on once in a while, and want everybody to pay attention to what ham radio can do to anyone's life and make what you can. But boy, ham radio can sure accelerate that. George, I want to mention here on the show about your new video. I ran across it the other day. Tell everybody a little bit about this latest video that you posted. It was absolutely amazing. It was so well done at the VOA, and I appreciate you sending me that link, and I got to watch it. But tell everybody where they can go see that, because everyone listening and watching tonight needs to go look at this.
Well, thank you, Bob, and we had a great time. You know, the Voice of America Bethany station is not too far from Dayton. So when Tommy and I were up there for the hamvention, we got a private tour of the Voice of America Museum. And we had a great guide there, Dave Snyder, who used to work there. I believe he was the last engineering supervisor. That plant has been decommissioned now, but they've turned it into a museum. And, well, there's a lot of history there. You think we have RF switching problems, Bob. You saw what they had. So it's something you don't want to miss. Definitely go check out amateurlogic.tv, the Voice of America Museum special. I guarantee you, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it was so well done. So everybody go check that out. It's really, really good. And we'll be looking forward to some more of that that you have from WLW. And we'll be back to you in just a little bit as you warm up the soldering iron. We want to go see what Dale's doing here in just a little bit also. But before we get too carried away here, you know, for the past few weeks, I've been showing you about my little patch network. I'm going to give you a little history here for a couple of minutes. Here's how it all started, 1982, maybe 81, somewhere in there. When I started playing with microphone elements, I wanted to do something to be able to switch microphones. So I took this little chassis and I put the right connectors in the front. I put them in the back for the radios. I had Kenwood, Icom, and Collins in that day. And I could switch them back and forth and all this kind of good stuff. It was nothing but a nightmare for RF. I'm telling you, it was. But you see, those are all metal steel jacks, and their grounds are all together, and that's where you get in trouble. And so I figured, okay, I'm going to do this a little better. So along about 1990, I had these switches built. Oh, I figured, hey, Mr. Hot Dog here, I'll fix this up. And yeah, it works, but you got the RFI problem. I had three radios, one microphone, and of course, this went to the ICOM, that to the ASU, that to Kenwood. Oh, what a great idea. It was just a nightmare. And so then I figured, here a few years ago, well, I'll go spend $500. And here is a commercial unit. And it's really good, NCS. This is a wonderful thing that they did. And you can plug all of your microphones and your outputs and stuff. And that was for the speakers. They make one for mics, one for speakers. But still had RF problems because they don't think about grounds. And you've heard me talk about grounds before. We're going to have Steve on. He's coming on. He's trying to get a date together. And we'll talk more about grounds. But that's the problem with all this stuff. So it's been 5-6 years ago. I built the panel that you see behind me all the time for my vintage rigs. It worked great. Nylon jacks. There's absolutely no metal touching anything. They're all floating as they should be. So that's how we got it started. And then I wanted to do one for all of the new gear. So here's a short little video of how we did it. I'll narrate for you as we go through. It's just better to do this because you can, as we go through it, I can get closer shots and so on of our patch panel. And it it started out with a chassis, and you see we put all the jacks in, and this allows us to have six radios in the line input. Well, I had to cut the cables, and I use HioWire. It is the best wire for all of this stuff because in the cable preparation, you do it right. Now, here's how you do this, and if you haven't ever seen this done, please pay attention. You take the outer off. Now, when we go to the shield, you see those two on the outside for push to talk. We'll come back to that. But you push it down like a Chinese finger. You can't do this with very many shielded wires today because it all ends up in one little strand. But that's why I designed this wire, so you can keep that good shield. You don't have to break anything. Reach in there and pull the 2 18-gauge out, and now the shield has not been broken. We just pull that out, and now we've got a really nice piece of cable. Good shield, 2 18-gauge for the balanced microphone line, because I wanted to keep all these balanced, and the two outside of that shield for the DC push-to-talk. And when we mounted those pieces, I prepped all of those for the six different lines going in. And we mounted it all in the chassis. The one that's not mounted there on the right, that ended up being a line input. I just didn't have it in there yet. That's kind of nice because I can plug my DVD or my mini disc in there. If I record something and want to play it back, I can do that. But that's how it all worked out. And you see, I didn't put the names of the radios because they change. So I just put colors. And I've got to make up I've made them all up with our wire, but now I got special wire coming there. You'll see the line input went in. And that's the working unit. I had it on the air for several nights, and JD, John, and some of the guys helped me test it out. There it is, all put together. And over on the extreme right is a switch, and I can switch one of two microphones. I have two XLRs in the back. And if I want to play with two different microphones, and then I can patch it to wherever I want to patch that. It just works so well. Now, my work ahead is hooking up all of the different colored wire cables that I have that'll feed each radio, and therefore the blue, the red, and so on. That way, if I change radios and the names are already lasered on, it's like, so it didn't work. So anyway, that's what's going on. It works beautifully. I think you might want to look at that. It's really simple. Guess I should make a drawing of it and put it up somewhere, but I wanted to get all this going, and just last night I got it mounted. I'm not quite finished with it all, but right now it's plugged into the other radio over there. Here, if I want to plug it into the 7800, I do that. Or if I want to plug it into the 7600, I do that, and so on. It's just great. I can't tell you how well it works, and it's because of the nylon jacks. Those jacks have no metal in them except the contacts inside. So keeps all that ground loop junk out of there. So that's the story on it. And I don't know if enough guys think it's necessary. Maybe we'll put a little kit together of all the panels and you wire it. I don't want to build it, so don't start any rumors. It's not going to be a HioSound product. It's going to be a smoke and solder project. Maybe that, George, are you there, George? Hey, that could be a deal, huh? What do you think? Huh?
Well, yeah. I'm going to have to get the schematic from you on that one, Bob, but I think we can pull it off.
It's real easy. It's just soldering those stupid Foster connectors. I hate those things, but what are we going to do? We got to use them. So we'll have to talk about that. Well, anyway, we need to go find out about some pictures. But before we get to doing that, Dale, I understand that you have some new friends over in the UK, and you've got some real interesting stories about what came up this week from one of your friends, I think, in Scotland. Is that right?
That's right, Bob. We thought we'd tell you a sea story here. Great weekend. What a fantastic hobby we have here. I remember working Hawaii, and that was a big deal when I was 14. But this weekend, it was really interesting. We worked 92 stations as we helped celebrate the 223rd anniversary of the United States Coast Guard and operated as K1CG. And in the morning, before I was on my watch, I talked to one of the other operators for 5 or 10 minutes and walked out of the room. And about 15 minutes later, I picked up my phone and looked, and I had an email. And it was from George Mike, Zero George Mike November over in Scotland. He said he's a keen viewer of Ham Nation, and he wanted to let us know that we were romping into Scotland on 17 meters. So that was kind of nice. And he went on, and we started communicating by email back and forth, and said, he said, Ham Nation is the most wonderful show, and I give it a plug anytime I'm on 2 meters over here. And they said, you have lots of viewers from the UK, including Scotland. And he said he posts links each week to the show so that the various radio people over there can watch it. And one of the most interesting things, he said he's been a ham since he was 14 also, and he's now 45. And in his opinion, Ham Nation's the best thing that's happened to the hobby. And he said, although the hobby's doing well there, he said, less people tend to go to club meetings. And I can sort of testify to that. We only had 7 members show up for our meeting here this evening in Wichita. So, but the biggest thing he said was that he really likes Ham Nation because it keeps me bang up to date with what's going on in the hobby with lots of great tips. And he said, remember, many folks in the United Kingdom are watching you. So what do you think, Bob? That's pretty neat, isn't it?
I think it's wonderful. And I hear from a lot of people in the UK. Of course, we hear from people all over. And it's so wonderful to hear people from Australia, New Zealand, and all over Europe. And we know that some of you guys and gals have to stay up to 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And how I appreciate that. But we're glad that it helps. And I had an email from James, GM0GMN. He posts his shows on various AR pages over there. And that's just great to keep all of this alive and bring the excitement and the knowledge and so on of all of ham radio to the UK audience. So we appreciate that. So what kind of pictures you got? You got any pictures from these guys, Dale?
I don't have any pictures yet, but I gave him a broad hint that it would be nice to send some over to us, and we'd see if we could get them on. I guess it's time to jump right into the videos here this evening, and we're starting a how-to series. So when Bob was down in Oklahoma City, he told me a lot of the people down there would like to see how to do some things. So we had a volunteer a while back, George Huffman, Kilowatt Delta 4 Mike X-Ray Alpha, said he was doing a project for his club with longer tutorials, and he made shorter versions. He's holding them exclusively for Ham Nation, and he'll post them elsewhere after we've broadcast all 3. So tonight, we're going to look at planning. Later on, we'll be looking at actual construction and the mounting and testing. But planning's probably the most important, even though it's not what we all like to do. So let's roll the tape and listen to George Huffman build a 6-meter Yagi.
Hello, I'm George, KD4MXA, and today I thought I would show everyone how I put together and test some of my smaller beam antennas. I thought first I could show some of the tools, materials, and steps needed in building a great antenna. These aren't set in stone, and you can certainly use different materials and techniques, but this is what works for me, and I've had enough people ask about my antennas that I thought I would share. The first thing is to have a plan, not just an antenna plan, but a complete plan on how you want to order the material, assemble it, test it, and most importantly, to get on the air with it. You don't want to lose interest in a project and never complete it, so I think this step is very important. Today we are going to build a 6-meter, 5-element LFA Yagi beam from the G0KSC website. I have been building these loop-fed antennas for a couple of years and am quite pleased with the performance. I have a 3-element in the air right now and want to upgrade it with this 5-element. Another characteristic of these antennas is it does not need any matching devices, as it is designed with a 50-ohm feed point. Justin Johnson, G0KSC, is also the founder of Innov Antennas and is usually available by email should you have any questions. He has quite a few other designs on his website with pretty specific information and plans on how to build them. You can visit his site at www.g0ksc.co.uk. Now that we have the plans, we need to get our material together. Looking back at the plans, all of the middle sections will be made from half-inch tubing, 6 feet long, and the outer sections will be 3/8 tubing. So let's order 6 pieces of half-inch tubing, and since the lengths for the outer element sides are 3/8 or less than 3 feet, we will cut the 3/8 inch tubing in half and use them for the outer pieces of those elements. So we will need 4 pieces for the normal type elements and 2 pieces for the loop part of the driven element. This makes 6 pieces total of 3/8 inch tubing. You can get tubing just about anywhere, but I usually get mine from DX Engineering. It comes very well packaged and it arrives in just a few days. Next, we will need the boom for the antenna. If it is smaller and less than 8 feet, I usually order it off the internet or I go to the big box store to get it. For this antenna, I chose 1/8 inch thick, 1.5 inch square tubing and picked it up from a local supplier. This particular supplier carries it in 24-foot lengths. We will not need quite this much, but we may build a smaller antenna and use some of the leftover pieces for that. Next, we will need the clamps that hold the elements onto the boom. These are hydraulic line anti-vibration clamps and are available from most industrial supply houses, such as Granger or McMaster Carr. Or you can Google hydraulic line clamps and come up with a great number of suppliers. Justin also sells these on his website, but I usually pick them up from a local supplier. You also need boom and element end caps to keep the critters out. Depending on how you plan on attaching the 3/8 sections to the half-inch sections, you can use worm drive clamps, or in my case, we will rivet them. Next, you will need the nuts and bolts to hold the element clamps to the boom. Now, you can attach the clamps in several methods. You can drill completely through the boom and use longer bolts with nuts and washers. You can drill and tap the top section and use shorter bolts, or you can use what I call inserts and put them in the top half of the boom. I come from a heavy truck manufacturing background, and this is my preferred method of attaching anything to thin metal. You can order the riv nuts and an inexpensive installation tool off the internet, or if you do not feel comfortable using these, you can use any method you like to attach the element clamps to the boom. Before we get started building the antenna, I thought I would show what I use to test antenna designs without having to drill numerous holes in my boom material. This is an extruded piece of aluminum that I got from a local supplier that is 1.5 inches square that has grooves in it that allows for different configurations. You can build all kinds of fixtures for different designs and test them very easily on the extrusion before coming up with a final design and permanently attaching them to an expensive aluminum boom. If you are into building and testing antenna designs, this is a good thing to have in your toolbox. Now that we have all the materials figured out that we need and a plan, let's get it ordered, and I'll see you all here next week, and we will begin construction. Until then, this is George, KD4MXA, 73.
Outstanding, George. Thank you very much. I'm a mechanical, I'm mechanically challenged, put it that way. And I think I could build the Yagi and follow George's direction. So I think he's doing a fantastic job. I watched all three the other night and thought they were fantastic. So we'll be continuing with that next week and the week after. So stay tuned for that. Let's wrap up tonight's video segment with a Show Me Your Shack entry. Comes from 17-year-old Aaron Boots. He's K0ARM. We'll take a look now.
Aaron Boots here, K0ARM, and I wanted to make a quick video and show off my computers and amateur radio equipment. As you can see, I have a bed loft with my desk underneath it. I have 2 desktops and 4 monitors. 3 monitors on my main desk and an additional one on my workbench. When working on my PC and I want to switch monitors, I hit Alt-2 and it goes to my workbench. My custom PC is built into a modded Apple G5 case. Mm-hmm. On the right of my desk, I have a Kenwood UHF-VHF 25-watt radio. On my other desk, I have a Kenwood TS5300S HF radio. On top of this radio, I have an MFJ antenna tuner and a fan dipole in the attic. Thanks for watching. You can follow me on Twitter, at K0ARM.
Well, thank you very much, Aaron.
That was fantastic, Dale. And how old did you say he was?
He's 17, and I did want to tell you, he told me that he is really upset about the lack of young hams, and he's actively recruiting with his friends, and he's hosting a ham radio starters guide at his home. And during the meetings, he explains and demonstrates amateur radio, and he also launched a young ham radio club. So pretty neat, Bob.
That is really cool. And while we're on this subject, I've gotten a number of very positive emails about some things that I mentioned last week. Well, I think we are all talking about it, about the youth and amateur radio. And that was really great to see that. And I caught the fact that he built all of that. So this is just great, Dale. What a wonderful job you did. We want to encourage everyone. Let us know about some of the youngsters and not only young people, but anybody that's new to this hobby. Let us know what you're doing. And there you see, he made a nice video of his shack. So you can do that too. And we look forward to hearing from the newcomers to the hobby as well as the young kids. So that's really great, Dale. And Dale, we got Leo coming up. Leo wants to talk to us about Audible. But before he does that, you got anything else or that you want to tell everybody about the videos?
Just one thing. I saw in the chat room while we were watching the videos that a gentleman over in Australia said, don't forget to tell everyone that Ham Nation is broadcast live on VK2RKG just north of Sydney every Monday evening, I believe it was. Actually, there were a couple of evenings. So just wanted to pass that along. That's it. We'll get out of here. The Ham Nation video address to send your links and to send your photos is hamnationvideos@twit.tv. And that'll do it from the Yellow Brick Road. Thanks, Bob.
Well, it's just wonderful. You're doing a great job. So keep them coming, everybody. And we'll get to see your smiling face and your great station right here on Ham Nation. And you, like all of these people we're hearing from other sides of the planet, are helping us to expose Ham Nation to everyone, and we invite everyone to do that. Right now, we're going to go see what W6TWT's got cooking, and I bet it's got something to do with a book. What do you think?
Ham Nation, do you mind? Just quick. We're just quick, but I know you're going to love this. I know you're going to love this. I want to talk about Audible.com. I'm sure you've heard me talk about it before. I've been a kind of an Audible fanatic since 1991, I think. That's when I first started listening to Audible. It's because I had a commute from hell. I had to go 2 hours a day in the car, sometimes three if the traffic was bad, back and forth to San Francisco to Tech TV. And audiobooks saved my life. I think pretty much literally saved my life. They made me calm. They made me a better driver. And they filled my brain with great stuff. If you visit audible.com, you'll see what I mean. Not just fiction, not just mysteries and thrillers and scary books and Stephen King novels and stuff like that, but young adult fiction, science truth, too. You can learn so much at audible.com. Now they've got the great courses, which means you can get the best college professors lecturing on every subject under the sun. This is all part of the Audible subscription. I want you to try it out. We're going to get you a free audiobook so that you can see if this is right for you. Visit audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, and you can start listening right away. What'll happen is you'll be signing up for the gold account, which means you're going to get a book a month. That's the subscription. But the first 30 days are free. You can cancel any time in that first 30 days, pay nothing. But the first book you pick, that's yours forever. So pick well. There's so many great choices. I don't even know where to begin. I listened to a great, and I'm trying to remember what the name of it was, a great book about the early days of radio.
They do have, by the way, a lot of old-time radio on Audible. 380 episodes of Dragnet. 137 hours of Dragnet. Could be yours for free. What? Is that right? The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Shakespeare? I'm looking for... I searched for radio, and of course, I'm getting not the radio history that I was looking for, but a lot of classic radio shows. You're going to love Audible. Just try it, okay? Browse around, audible.com, and then once you've picked the first book, that first free book, visit audiblepodcast.com/hamnation and get it absolutely free. It'll be yours to keep, even if you don't stick around, but I think you will. audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. Hey, thanks so much for supporting Ham Nation. Thank you for being here, and now we take you back to Bob and Gordo and George and Amanda and the whole Ham Nation gang. 7-3, guys.
Okie dokie. Well, there you go. And I'm so happy that all of the help that we've been giving Audible, and that means that somebody has been subscribing to their service. That's great. And I know one guy that subscribes to us down in there in the bayou. Don, what are you reading on Audible this week?
There it is right there. It's Under the Dome, Stephen King. And it's so much different than the TV show. This is an awesome book. Here we go. Dimmed down on me. Yeah, Under the Dome on Stephen King. I actually have it on my iPad and my iPhone. And what's cool is I listen to it in the car, generally on the iPad, so that I can keep the iPhone on the Bluetooth. And if I listen to, if I go back to the iPhone, it will say, do you want to pick up where you were listening to on the other device? And I'll say, yeah, and it'll bring me right there. It's just, it's the most amazing thing. Audible is just the best thing. And I've got one of those long commutes too, 125 miles a day, and Audible is just the best. And I took advantage of that offer myself. So it's good stuff. Hey, let's get into the news of the week, shall we? Let's go ahead and get into the Amateur Radio Newsline video. Brian, if you'll roll that, we would love you for it. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1877, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 7th, 2013. Ham Radio was ready when Tropical Storm Flossie took aim at Hawaii on July 29th. Clement Jung, KH7HO, Hawaii's Amateur Radio Skywarn Coordinator.
There was a report of an individual that had a hole in the roof that was touched with lightning. We had some trees that fell, and that's about it. There wasn't really any extensive flooding, no huge storm surge. There was rain, yes, but no extensive flooding. So we lucked out in this tropical storm. About 8 o'clock on Monday, July 29th, that's when the action started to come up. The Central Hurricane Center meteorologists were concerned about this development that was over Maui and approaching Lanai, Molokai, and then Oahu. It was a development that was 60,000 feet high and was generating a lot of lightning and thunder. And they were concerned about more rain and hail and possibly tornadoes. No matter what hat we wear, we all work together, whether we're Aries, Racies, State Racies, DM Racies. That's the whole concept, that we have limited resources here. We're an island state, and we all have to work together, what we call Ohana, family in Hawaiian.
Flossie did not wreak the damage that some had predicted, and with a statewide ham radio network of intertide repeaters using the All-Star Network, communications was uninterrupted throughout the event. Reports provided by amateur radio operators were supplemented with messages relayed via cell phones, text messages, and on social media, such as Facebook. Flossie faded the morning of July 30th thanks to winds that broke layers of the storm apart. The ham radio operators who were part of the first response effort say that they're ready for anything that Mother Nature might send their way. KH7HO says that it's cooperation among the various groups that makes Hawaii's ever-ready emergency response possible. A record number of individuals interested in emergency preparedness were on hand for the 2013 ARRL Hurricane webinar, which was held Monday evening, July 15th. A total of 410 people, many of them radio amateurs, participated in the event. This was the highest attendance ever for an ARRL webinar. Those attending heard presentations on a number of topics, including an overview of the 2013 hurricane season forecasts and the role of IRLP and Echolink in disaster communications. Also covered, a summary of Hurricane WatchNet activity and the importance of publicizing amateur radio communications. For those who missed it, the webinar has been posted for download at the ARRL's website. Monitoring Times magazine will cease publication at the end of the year. Publisher Bob Grove, W8JHD, tells contributors in an email that after 33 years, he and his wife Judy have decided to retire. In his notice, Grove said that a combination of a downturned economy as well as the ready availability of free listening and technical information on the Internet has reduced sales and subscriptions throughout the marketplace. Therefore, Monitoring Times will be shutting down all operations after its December 2013 issue. The impending closure of Monitoring Times leaves CQ Publishing's Popular Communications as the only national magazine serving the burgeoning shortwave listeners, CBers, and scanning enthusiasts market. A name familiar in both broadcast and amateur radio circles is coming back to the airwaves. Art Bell, W6OBB, is coming out of retirement. Again. Art Bell will be returning to nighttime talk radio this fall, but you won't be hearing him on your AM or FM dial. That's because the new program will be a part of the SiriusXM satellite subscription program lineup. Bell's new show will be titled Art Bell's Dark Matter. SiriusXM says that Bell will talk about things like UFOs, ghosts, near-death experiences, and the weird aspects of science. Also, that he'll do interviews and take calls from listeners, just like in the old days. Like in years past, the show will originate from Art's property in Nevada. SiriusXM is reportedly in the process of building a new studio facility for him to originate from. Welcome back, Art. We missed you. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Oh, we're back? Oh, sorry, I was catching up on some light reading here. Actually, you caught me. Yeah, I'm reading QST. You know why? Because I want to check out the D-Star QSO party. It's coming up right around the corner, and ICOM is, of course, a huge part of D-Star and the D-Star QSO party, and here's more information on that from ICOM.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. With the D-Star QSO party just around the corner, you can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering two direct buy promotions for D-Star enthusiasts in the U.S. and Canada. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible, with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100, more people are getting on the air with its incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. And now through September 30th of 2013, IC7100 operators can get CS7100 cloning software at a discounted price with shipping and handling fees included. Visit ICOM America's website and click on the Buy Direct banners in the Amateur section. Look for the D-Star or CS7100 offers for complete details and instructions. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and mail it in. And don't forget to mark your calendars. D-Star QSO Party 2013 is coming up next month, September 20th through 22nd. Here's your invitation to the biggest D-Star QSO Party. Talk to the world by connecting through D-Star repeaters around the globe. 10 lucky winners are going to take home some great prizes this year. Get your gear now and be ready for the biggest D-Star party in the world. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's Buy Direct program.
That is going to be such a cool thing, that D-Star party. I not too long ago, I was sitting at my office. It was an afternoon. It was kind of slow. I had my ICOM D-Star handy talkie with me, and I punched up the 30C repeater or reflector, and there was Australia. I'm talking to a guy in Australia on my handheld. Just amazing. Visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. You'll find out more information on the ICOM Buy Direct program. And, of course, while you're there, enter the ICOM weekly drawing. The ICOM swag is up for grabs, like the T-shirt, the hats, and a lot of details on the ICOM monthly grand prize drawing for the free ICOM radio, which George is going to tell you about here in just a second. Again, it's icomamerica.com/hamnation for official rules. Check out all the ICOM previous drawing winners. Your name could be on there very soon, so sign up and good luck. Now let's go north a couple of hours to Jackson, Mississippi, and George, W5JDX. What do you got for us tonight, George?
Oh, good evening, Don. Good to see you again. And, yeah, you know, for July, ICOM was giving away an ID-51A, and we've got the winner's name on that. The lucky winner was Steve S. K9YZ. Steve, congratulations. You just won a brand-new ID-51A, that great new VHF, UHF, D-Star Handy Talkie that ICOM just put out this year. They're real hot right now. Everybody's getting one of them, it seems like. I don't have one yet, but it's kind of on my wish list there. You know, if you didn't win, Don't worry. That's what they're giving away in August, Don, another ID51A. So go after the show tonight to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win. You could win an ID51A. You got four chances this month to enter. Just after every episode of Ham Nation, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. Throw your name in the hat. You might get some swag, but you might get a nice handy talkie. Well, this week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to start on another project that I think a lot of you are going to find interesting. This is a brand new HF antenna tuner kit that MFJ just released. So let's take a look at that. This week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to begin building an HF antenna tuner. It's the MFJ VersaTuner 2 model MFJ941EK. The first thing we need to do is go over the parts inventory, check them off here as we go, and make sure that we've got all the parts here necessary to put this kit together. Now I've sorted all my parts and checked them off on the checklist, it's time to move on to the first stage. We've got five resistors to install first. Now I'll solder all these. We'll clip off all the leads. So now we've got four 50K ohm trimmer pots, and we're going to install those as our 5, 6, 7, and 8. Now we've got four ceramic disc capacitors to install. Now we'll find C4, which is a trimmer capacitor. Now let's solder all these in place before we move on. And now we'll use a 680 microhenry choke, which looks like a resistor, except in this kit the body is green. And now we'll find the two Schottky diodes. In my kit, they're both blue. They're the only two diodes in the kit. And we got to identify the cathode end. That's the end here that's got the black band on it. And we'll install D1 and D2 in the board, making sure that we've got the cathode in the direction of the arrow. Next, we're going to install some switches and the power jack. First, we'll install the double-pole, double-throw push-button switch, which has six pins on it here. That will go into the switch one position. And the other one, which is a four-pole double-throw, has 12 pins. That will be switch two. And we'll do the power jack as well. Now we've got the final switch to install, and this is an eight-pole double-throw rotary switch. Now the next instructions call for finding six pre-stripped 5-inch lengths of jacketed hookup wire. That means with insulation on them. Now how am I going to hold these three wires in while I solder them? I think I'll just put a little piece of tape on there and see if that works. Now we install the red wire at the position marked LMP behind S1. And the violet wire will go into the one named FMTR. And the white wire will go into RMTR. Now let's see if we can hold the wire and the solder with one hand and the soldering iron with the other. Now we're going to install T2, which will be the SWR transformer. We'll use this little brass eyelet here, put it through the T2 position and solder it to the board. Then we'll take one of the lengths of bus wire here, put it through there. Now we'll take T2 in this position. This is a smaller toroid in the kit. One wire is red here, the other is more of an amber color, and then the two in the center here are twisted together. So what we're going to want to do is put those into the three holes here in that order after we've slid this down over the wire and the eyelet. Now once we've got that in position, we'll take the little nylon washer and slide down over the top. And we'll hope it stays there. Now we'll find six additional bus wires here, and we'll install them at positions DL, wire, coax 2, coax 1, and C2. Now on the wire on the inside at position DL here, that one needs to loop through up to the switch.
Now, this completes the PC board part of the kit here. There are some positions here that aren't used because this same PC board is used in a number of different model tuners. Now, our next step here is to mount the printed circuit board inside of the chassis. It'll go like this. Now, the next step will be to mount the coax connectors in the rear here, and the connectors mount from the inside. Now we need to route these bus wires to the back of the connectors. We'll take the one that says coax 1, and that'll run to connector coax 1 here. The one that says coax 2 goes to the coax 2 connector. The connector that says transmitter has the one labeled as T2, this one right here. And then the last one labeled dummy load is the wire labeled dummy load right here. And now we'll solder all of these in place. Let's install the ground post, which is going to go down here. Now we'll install the two banana terminals here. Actually, there's three of them. Now, the one labeled wire here, we're going to take the lead here that's marked wire and connect it to there. And I'm going to try to come under this one right here. Make sure those don't touch. And now for the balance line, we're going to install our larger ballon here. And now the two leads that are twisted together here, those will go to our ground terminal on the bottom. And now we've got a white lead and a black lead left. Those will go to the two balance posts here. And now it's time to mount our meter. And now we'll take the capacitors and put them across the terminals of each of the meter movements here. And we'll also put one across the lamp assembly. Now we'll install one of the black wires to each negative terminal of the meter. We'll also install a black wire to one of the meter lamp terminals. Now we'll connect the violet wire to the positive lead of the forward power meter. You see, forward's on this side, but the movement is actually down here on this side. The white wire goes to the positive terminal over here on the reflected movement. And the red wire here will go to the opposite side of the lamp.
The red zone is for immediate loading and unloading of passengers only. There is no stopping in the white zone.
No, the white zone is for loading and unloading, and there is no stopping in the red zone.
The red zone has always been for loading and unloading. There is never stopping in a white zone.
Don't tell me which zone is for stopping and which zone is for loading.
Listen, buddy, don't start off with your white zone fish again.
This completes the RF switching and metering sections of the kit. Next week, we'll return and build the T-Network. If you'd like to build along with us, visit mfjenterprises.com and order MFJ941EK.
That is a lot of fun to build and a really interesting kit, especially if you're just getting started out. We'll be learning a little more about how the tuner actually works when we start installing the network for that. And we'll be back with more of that next week. Now, last week I asked the question, what is the most common packet baud rate? And I got an answer on that from, who did it come from? It came from James Gilmore, KK6FGH. And James said the most common packet baud rate is 1,200 baud. Congratulations, James. You've just won yourself the Radio Oasis G5RV antenna, courtesy of Frank and our friends over at cheapham.com. You'll enjoy this, and we'll be getting it out to you this week. And next week's question, if an antenna tuner has three components, what design is it most likely to be? If you think you know the answer to that, send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might just win this copy of Constructing HF Wire Antennas, a great book from Jerry Busting. So I believe that's it for our smoke and solder this week, Bob.
Well, that was great, and I look forward to hearing the reports of how well it all worked. That's the next trick. You do all this work, and then you find out, uh-oh, something was wrong. But I imagine in your case, that's out the window. It always works, right?
It does. And just in case it doesn't, I've got a new desoldering tool here that we can use on it. Mm-hmm. This is a Benford.
Mm-hmm. I see that. Yeah. You also have a nine-pound sledgehammer when all else fails, right?
Right. And if that doesn't work, we just call over Jim with the torch.
There you go. You always have two or three ways to solve a problem. I love it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's great, George. Well, George, did you know what tonight is?
I think I do, Bob. Why don't you tell us?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I would have had time today, I would have went out in the organ loft and fired up the organ, but I didn't. But it's Cheryl's birthday. Did you know that?
I did. Happy birthday, yep. Cheryl.
Happy birthday, kiddo. And I know
you.
That.
Thank you so much.
I know that. We were told this, so I'm sure we were told from pretty good sources, too. So I hope you've had a wonderful time today.
Happy birthday,
absolutely.
Cheryl.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Don, did that message get all the way down to you? Did you make that?
Yeah, it did. It did, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I am in the loop.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we need to go find
there,
out.
I'm glad that you weren't just smoking that cigar and you got back online there. We're so happy to have you. The chat room was ecstatic when you got back in there.
Yeah, it wasn't the cigar that smoked. It was my my internet for some reason. There you go. Look at that. Pink nice. Cupcake. That's awesome.
It is.
Happy birthday, darling. Happy
terrific.
Birthday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, let's see what's going on in the old chat room and fire it up. It's a special night, so make it happen.
Very good. Very good. Here we go. First off, I wanted to say that I received, thank you for all your cards and letters, as we say. And it says, Dear Cheryl, I watch you on Ham Nation. I recently got my technician class a couple of weeks ago. I took the general test at the same time and missed by only 3 points. He's 62 years old, married with 4 kids in the East Bay side of the SFO Bay Area. Northern California and San Francisco. I have no equipment, but I have logged Philippines, the San Diego, and Hawaii using Echolink. That's pretty good. And he joined in the dew drop in Breakfast Net. He does that daily. And his new call sign, if you hear him on the air, that would be KK6FGH. That would be James Gilmore. Congratulations, James. I hope that you get the general, too, and you keep on moving forward. And I'm so glad that you wrote, and thanks very much for that. So here we have some questions from Off-Road Ham ER. For you, Bob, what mic do you recommend on a TS-480 for use in a home station? Go for it.
Oh, no question. HM-12. Easy.
All right. Good, good, good. And we need to know, can you tell us, Bob, where N4HAI-2, he says, is Gordo on APARS, APRS? Is he on that?
I think so. Yeah, we need to check in with Gordo here in just a little bit. He's going to be around the 40-meter frequency, and we're all going to try to find him. We'll check in with Mike and the guys first, but then let's find him off. He said he'll be up a few, 10 or 20, depending on what's going on in the band. So let's all be looking for Gordo, and he should be on the APRS, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's out in Arizona or something, isn't he?
Yep, he's on his way to Albuquerque. He and I are doing the Duke City Ham Fest Saturday, but he's doing it live. I will be doing it here from Skype. I've been doing a lot of not only Ham Fest, but club meetings. I love doing them. Mm-hmm. You guys have clubs and Ham Fest, let us know, George. And Gordo, myself, we do these, and it's great because it brings education and it brings a little entertainment and fun to your club meetings. So let us
Absolutely.
Know. But that's what's going to happen Saturday at the Duke City Ham Fest. So we'll be looking for Gordo. So that's where he is, Cheryl.
Thanks. So good. Because they were asking in the chat room where he is. So that was from Web 5341 and some others as well. So, I just wanted to compliment you on that new patch panel. I was kind of watching the old previous one from last week. You were leading into the patch panel, and you said you're going to show us some stuff here. So we had a couple questions about it. From KA3JSD, he says, how did you label the patch panel? How did you label that thing?
We have a laser etch machine in the plant. We put our, that's what we do, all the stuff on the microphones and various other things. But you can do that with labels. George, what are you using for labels on panels today? You got any secret?
Well, you know, there's a lot of label makers available now that you just put a little tape in and it'll print you out a label of whatever you want. But I have a secret weapon on how to make nice-looking labels that we'll have to look at one day. It's a little work, but you can really do some neat stuff. Yep.
All right.
That's one.
Mm-hmm. We like secret weapons. We really love those. Anything, any kind of suggestions are always welcome here on Ham Nation. We all love that stuff. So very nice. And moving back to you, Bob, from VK5ZEA, Michael, he says, could you tell us what model, I think it's Doro level meter that you're using in your ham station right now? I don't know how I'm pronouncing right, Doro?
That's just, yeah, the Doro. It's a 40A. Doro is a great meter. Let's see if we can move over here a little bit. You can see it in the background. And it, of course, it only comes up when I got something happening through it. Bring up the old 7800. And I use it. It's a calibrated meter that we use in just about every broadcast station has them. I mean, it's very calibrated. And I use it to for different microphones and things that I'm doing audio-wise. But it's a 40A from Doro. Check it out. It's really, really a useful device. Dorrough, Doro Model 40A.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Bob. That is a cool piece of equipment, no doubt. No doubt about that. And now I think we're going to move over to you, George. First, a comment comes to you from K6LER. And take this lightly, but he says, do you have a life outside editing your videos? Takes a lot of work and time, but they are fun and informative. So he says he likes it, but I bet you it does take a lot of time. We want to tell you how much we appreciate that. How much time is involved with editing and making a single video? Can you give us a little bit of a hint?
About 1 hour per minute is just a rough estimate. You know, wow. Sometimes on some of these projects, I'll end up with 4 or 5 hours of video and then try to condense that down into the best 10 minutes. So it does take quite a bit of time. And I just gave up sleeping. That's the secret.
Oh, good.
Hey, George, your other life outside of editing stuff is keeping Tommy out of trouble, right?
Well, it is, and that is a big job all within itself. And Jim, we just gave up on him.
Yeah, right. He just went and burned himself up. That's okay. What a great
job. And now for the serious side for you, George, comes from KB9FQJ, Steve. He says, for question for George. Aww. It says Ham Nation upside down.
It's out of phase.
It's out of phase. Don't say that.
That's right.
Keep it in phase.
Okay. Keep it in phase. Absolutely. There. Yeah, that's the real show name. There you go. Perfect.
For all you podcasters, Don's being a little dyslexic right now, but he's okay. He got it straightened out.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah. Okay, so if he gets lost, we'll know where to. If you find him, you'll know where to return him.
So here's the deal on the soldering question we have coming from KB9FQJ. Steve says, "How come 95% tin and 5% antimony solder, which is lead-free, is so much harder to work with than 60/40 solder, George?"
Well, it's because these lead-free solders take a lot more heat to get to melt, and they also take a stronger flux. And there's some drawbacks to lead-free solder. Fortunately, here in the U.S., we're not forced to use lead-free at this time. So I keep a good roll of lead solder. I'm about to run out, though. I'm going to have to order some more. So, but yeah, that's it. Basically, the heat, it just takes so much more heat.
Okay, then. That's good to know all about that soldering. There's so much to it. It's not just buy one kind of thing and that's all there is to it. There's a lot to know. And thank you for that answer. And Bob, we're going to move back to you. I don't know if you can give us this secret information or not, but KG4AQH, William, he says, Bob, where do you get those nylon jacks?
Well, I get them from one of our suppliers, but they're around, I think the number is N119. You might look at, I would think some of the parts houses that's doing them, Mauser or somebody like that would have. It's a switchcraft part. So check it out. Oh. It's N119 or something like that, nylon, whatever. But they have all kinds of them. They got stereo, mono, stereo switched, mono switched, and all that. But check Mauser. I think you'll find them.
Thank you, Bob. That's very good. That's nice. And we also have VE3MIC Mike. He had a comment and a question. But first, for the question for you, Bob, have you ever used solid state cross point switching?
No, I don't want to use any active switching. That's why I go to the trouble of the nylon stuff. Do you get anything active? Get ready. RF is abundant. Or it's the possibility is there. I'm not saying everything you do, of course not. But no, why not do it real easy? And that's why I do it this way. It's so easy and it's trouble free.
And then he went on to say, just one comment. If he says, if you think an 8-pin Foster connectors are a pain, he says, try a 45-pin military bayonet connector. I'm not really sure what that is, but it sounds unreal.
When I was on the road, we used 90-way connectors for the back of our mixers for all the stage boxes. So, yeah, it gets crazy, and that's when you got to pay attention.
Okay, and here's the last. I just want to invite everybody into the 75-80 meter net tonight on 3.847 megahertz. I'll be there to welcome you and see what we can do for the after-show QSO for Ham Nation tonight. And I'll pass it back to you, Bob, to wrap it up. 73, and thanks for all your birthday wishes. And hi to Megan and everybody who did a great job tonight. And thanks so much for joining us in the chat room, too. And podcasters, have a great night and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Okay, thank you. Happy birthday. David better take you out to dinner tonight. I'll be checking that up later. So, David, get the message. I don't want to hear her on 75 too long. She needs to be at a really fancy restaurant. Special day for her.
Thanks, Bob.
George, a couple of things. You have the Dewdrop and the D-Star information after a show here?
I sure do, Bob. I've got all the nets here. 40 meters is going to be on 7.278 tonight. 20 meters, I believe, is going to be on 14.268. The D-Star network is on reflector 14, module C. And Echolink is on the Star Dewdrop N-Star conference server. That's node number 355-800.
Okay, that'll be great. And I want everybody to realize that when you have questions about this show, you can go see all of them. I know a question came through this week. How did I put the great little ICOM 7000 in my car without drilling any holes? Go back and look at show 97. All you have to do, put Ham Nation into Google. And down the left side, you'll see all of the 108 shows. And find whatever ever show you want. And you can do it anytime, 24/7. So there you go. And it's all there. A tremendous amount of information that all of the people have done here. And we've had so many brilliant people come on board and give us their great knowledge. And that's what we're doing here, is passing knowledge as well as having fun and enjoying amateur radio. What better to do? So we'll see you guys all next week. And I know that we will see you on the AfterNet. Now, we have to realize that things are being sponsored here, okay? And we have, before we go, a brand new sponsor. And we're so thrilled that I know it's like, oh, we got another sponsor. But these are cool people, and they keep it on the air. Leo has got a great network here. We appreciate all the time. And here is how we keep it going. So pay attention now, everybody. Get your pencils out right here. Get them out. because Leo is going to talk to us. Here we go. Leo, it's yours.
Excuse me. Let me just butt in here. I know. I'm sorry. Bob and George and Gordo, Amanda, all the gang. I hate to interrupt Ham Nation. It's my favorite show, but we've got advertisers, and that's good because it means that the show is making money, and that's a good thing for all of you guys. Our sponsor today is kind of a new one. It's kind of interesting. ProXPN. Have you ever heard of them? Have you heard what a VPN is? Maybe you've encountered it. Some businesses use VPNs to allow their employees offsite to log into the company's network as if they're there, right? It's secure, very secure. Believe me, banks use it. The military uses it. Anytime you want a secure access to a network, VPN is a solution. But what about us individuals? Wouldn't it be nice to have secure access to the internet from a coffee shop, an airport, a hotel? Wouldn't it be nice to avoid the snooping ISPs? This is what a VPN can do for you. But what you need is a server on the other side, and that's what ProXPN does. ProXPN.com, not VPN, XPN, ProXPN.com. They run OpenVPN servers. It's the best VPN software out there that allow you on your computer anywhere to surf securely to avoid the prying eyes of the ISP or the federal government. You're surfing completely at 2048-bit encryption.
Yeah, so the times are changing. 512-bit
encrypted tunnel. Your data, all your data, your email, your web traffic, your instant messenger traffic is going through that encrypted tunnel. So it's private from prying eyes. It's secure. There's other advantages, too. Let's say you want to avoid geographic restrictions on the content you watch. ProXPN has servers all over the world. And when you come out on the server in Singapore or London, that's where it appears you're surfing from. So it completely bypasses geographic restrictions. You don't have to worry about the six strikes law. The ISPs can't look over your shoulder, see what you're doing. Look, this is how the internet was meant to be. Private, anonymous, secure. ProXPN will do it for you. And best of all, we've got a great offer. Now, you can try ProXPN for free, but their premium accounts, normally they cost $9.95 a month, $74.95. if you're going for an entire year. But we've got a special Ham Nation offer for you. Use the offer code HN20, Ham Nation, HN20, at proxpn.com/twit, and you'll get 20% off. Not just for the first month, the first year, but for the lifetime of the account. proxpn.com/twit. Secure yourself online. Surf anonymously. Surf privately with proxpn.com. And don't forget to support Ham Nation. Use the offer code HN20. Sorry to interrupt. Back to Ham Nation.
Not interrupting, Leo. That's really important stuff, and we all need to pay attention to that because, man, it's getting fierce out there with everybody looking over your shoulder, and you know how it goes. We don't have that kind of thing on ham radio. Well, once in a while, I have some people that come in and QRM your signals and so on, but that's okay. We can take care of that. Just turn a dial, move on. It's not that easy with your phone. Thanks, everybody, for being here. It's been fun. Now, let's go see if we can find Gordo. I know that he's going to be up around Mike's frequency, so check in all the nets. Bill's on 20. Al and Dale, 40 and 75 for Cheryl, birthday girl. She won't be there long because she's going to be going out to dinner, but we'll try to catch up there somewhere. And Don, we'll catch up with you somewhere. Thanks a lot, everybody, for being here. And till next week, when who knows what we're going to do, why, stay really happy with your ham radio. And we'll catch you on the band. I'm on a lot, and I look forward to working any of you. And next week, right here on Ham Nation. Thank you very much, Leo, Brian, everybody back at Petaluma. This is K9EID. Bye-bye for now.
And I'll look forward to seeing everybody at the Huntsville Ham Fest here in a couple of weeks. So, good night.
Yeah, me too, Don. We'll have to get together.
Absolutely.